How do you watch a solar eclipse with kids? How do you keep them safe? How do you explain what's going on up there? Well, our next guest, Silvia Piccinotti, has thoughts. She has many thoughts because she's about to see her sixth total solar eclipse. And this time around, she is traveling with friends and families, 13 kids in all. They'll be at Lake Travis in the Austin, Texas area. Sylvia is a Cub Master who talks about eclipses and science to scouts, and she's written a children's book. It's called Magical and Unusual Solar Eclipse. Sylvia, thanks for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So the kids in your crew, I understand, are between 8 months old and 9 years old. Are they pumped for Monday? Do they know what's happening?
They do know what's happening, but you know, not all of them fully understand what's going on. So I'd say the older kids are excited. But they're also kids, so they're like excited and distracted. And the younger kids have a vague understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, for the kids who are a little bit older, how do you explain to them what's going to happen Monday?
My kids have heard about this for a long time. My oldest saw his first when he was 3.5, and he has some memories of it. And they were both very much involved in my writing of my book. So they've gotten a very thorough education on it.
I'm just curious, if you hear one of your kids who knows a lot about this, have you heard one of your children explaining it to another kid? I'm just curious how that explanation goes.
Oh, they're pretty savvy. You know, they'll explain that the moon is covering the sun and they know that it's a new moon. So you can't see it in the sky and the sun is going to get covered. And at the eclipse time, if you're lucky enough to be in an area where you can see that, it'll look black in the sky and you'll see like white light streaming from it.
Yeah. Oh, very sophisticated. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, they've heard it a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how you and the families around you plan to set things up for safety. How will your team protect your kids' eyes?
Right. So we are traveling both with eclipse glasses and with eclipse viewers. So just for people who don't know, eclipse viewers are actually these rectangular pieces of cardboard that have a piece of solar filter in the center. You don't wear them, you hold them. And the reason we have both is that eclipse glasses are really good for older kids. They can follow directions. Also, they can find the sun in the sky, even though they otherwise can't see anything else. Younger kids have difficulty with that. With eclipse viewers, instead, you can hold it already in position in front of the sun and then direct a younger child to see it, which ensures that they're looking in the right place and that the sun is already perfectly covered.
You have a broader range of protection for their eyes than just the glasses.
Right. But honestly, the best way of all, if you're really concerned, is to direct their attention towards making pinhole projection devices, because those you're not looking towards the sun at all, and they can have a lot of fun making them. You can just make them out of sheets of paper and just poke holes through them and then project that onto the ground, onto like a white blanket or another piece of paper. You can also use household objects like colanders. And it's more fun for them, and then you don't have to worry because they're not looking at the sun at all.
Yeah, yeah. So do any of them have their pinhole projectors ready to go, already poked?
Yes. So because we were traveling, we made them in advance, and we're at a rental house, so we can see if we can find any slotted spoons. People have belts, but they can also just use their hands. So it can be like a fun, you know, scavenger hunt for them.
Yeah. You clearly have been to many eclipses. You put a lot of thought into planning for this one. How do you think about what could go wrong? Traffic, clouds, things that could get in the way, right? I mean, every good parent has a plan B and C and D.
Absolutely. So, you know, we booked to come to Texas because it had the best probabilities for good weather, but that is not what the weather is doing for
it's
us.
Not.
And our weather prospects are not great. So we are making plans. We are going to be looking at the forecast very, very carefully and the radar. And then we are going to have to sort of discuss how far we're willing to go, because especially since we have such a large range of ages, you know, different ages can tolerate a long car drive more worse than others.
And factoring in traffic, right? I mean, a whole lot of people are going to this strip of totality.
That's exactly right. So we are at least already out of the city. Mm-hmm. So that gives us a tiny bit of an advantage there. And we're just planning on traveling really early in the morning. and bringing things for the kids to be entertained. Or, you know, we might decide it's not worth it. In 1999, which is when I saw my first eclipse, it was in Salzburg and the whole city was covered clouds. And my family drove out for 6 hours and we did find clear skies, but we had cousins who stayed in the city and they got lucky. It cleared out right at eclipse time because sometimes strange things happen during in the eclipse area.
I've read that clouds can kind of vanish during an eclipse.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it, but you know, you might get lucky even if you just say, you know, I'm going to stay where I am. Also because, you know, there are more eclipses coming in future years, not in the US, but elsewhere. So you can always make a plan, a very long-term plan even, to see one at some other point in your life.
We have been speaking to Silvia Piccinotti. She's a mother of two and also a Cub Scout leader. She's traveled to Texas to watch the eclipse with several other families, talking about how to do it and how to protect kids at the same time. Silvia, thanks for joining us. Happy Watching Monday.
Thank you so much.